Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Like, I already knew the importance of honesty in relationships because I had already fucked that up before you. But I was not looking at honesty within, or like how honesty intersects with anti-racism and how critical it is to be really honest with yourself about where you are. And what you understand and what you don't understand, and what you understand on paper versus what you understand in action.
Yeah.
The honesty within all of that is so incredibly critical and so much of what I was lacking. That's a big takeaway.
Mm-hmm. And how to pull a straight line.
And how to pull a straight
line. Without blowing out.
Yeah, without blowing out. Which honestly has only been within the past, like, what, 3 months, 4 months?
I mean, that's growth.
Yeah,
that's
it good. Is growth. It is growth.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to The Teardown, a podcast hosted by me, Vegas Inc., your favorite polarizing tattooer. Every episode, I sit down and chat with amazing guest artists, and we dive in more intimately on the politics of the tattoo industry, as well as some topics I feel are more relevant in contemporary tattooing. So, now that we're all set up, let's get started. Are you ready? My first ever guest on this show, I am very excited about. They are a non-binary tattoo artist based in Chicago, Illinois, who has been tattooing for almost 2 years. They started in a very cishet bro-man shop as an apprentice, but has now found themselves in a super cool, super trans queer shop called Wish Me Luck, where they get to expand their portfolio to include art that makes them more excited. They love long walks and drawing cool buildings. Their art style is very much influenced by architecture, which, cute. They own a very cute but smelly dog named Ash, who definitely has attachment issues, which very much relatable for me. They are an energy drink connoisseur. And most notably and embarrassingly, they have the words tender queer tattooed on their thighs. My ex, Dylan, aka Tender Tats. Hi.
Hello. You really just threw the tender queer tattoo in there.
It's embarrassing.
Well, I didn't get it intentionally as like the phrase tender queer. There's two separate tattoos that then immediately became tender queer because of how they're placed, which I should have realized at the time. But tender became my tattoo name because I was too scared to give myself a stick and poke one night. And my friend was making fun of me and said I was too tender to tat. And then I was like, oh, that's actually kind of clever. And then I got the word queer tattooed above one knee. And then like several months later, it was like, I should get script above the other knee too. And then everybody at the shop was like, do your tattoo name.
I love
do
how
tender.
You feel the need to like defend.
Well, I'm not trying. Queer. No, it is, you know, like I do have very tender queer tendencies. So the fact that I tattooed tender queer on myself.
And your name is tender queer.
Yeah. And my name in tattooing is tender tatting.
How are you feeling right now?
You know, honestly, I'm feeling okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a few like starter questions.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, how has your tattooing career been so far?
I feel like in a lot of ways it's been like pretty typical. I feel like it's an experience of a lot of people to like get an apprenticeship at a shop that doesn't feel good. My apprenticeship was very hands-off. I basically was teaching myself and I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And I feel like that's an experience shared among many as I've learned. Like the more tattoo artists I get to know, the more I'm like, oh, this was not unique. And going into a different shop where now like I don't feel the need to like, before I was telling all my clients to bring headphones. Like that was part of my like, okay, you've booked with me now, bring headphones because this shop is not safe. And, you know, that was like a part of what I would have to tell people.
The bro shop. Manly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very manly.
How do you feel in your new position, in your new shop?
I have felt really good in a lot of ways. I'm supporting myself the best I ever have. There's a sense of stability that I haven't experienced, especially in tattooing. I was working 3 to 2 other jobs at my old shop because I could not make enough money to support myself, and now I can. So that feels really, really good. Like I have a savings account now. That was not a thing before.
We're not going to do that. You got money.
Yeah. No, I have.
We dated.
Yeah.
I know you got money.
Oh, like I have money. Yes. Yes.
White.
Yes, I am white.
Most white people come indeed, with savings accounts.
Yeah. Indeed come with privilege. Yes. Yes.
Well, that leads me into my next thing. You were lightly canceled recently. How do you feel?
Lightly canceled. Yes. Yes.
It was like a it diet was canceled.
Yeah, it was diet only because you took the stories down. Like, I think if you had left the stories up, like, it would have been, well, I mean, like, cancel culture, there's a lot of critiques to be put against it. Now people don't actually get canceled, especially white people. Like, the fact of the matter is, even.
Don't try to redeem yourself right now.
Let's I'm just being honest. Like, you had good reason. I had been pretty violent. Pretty anti-black, pretty fucked up.
Don't worry, we're gonna get into all that. I just kind of wanted to surprise you, sneak attack.
And
you
right off the bat.
Yeah, and you navigated that quite well, actually. But the topic of today's episode is dating tattoo artists. Not just dating as a tattoo artist, but being a tattooer and dating another tattoo artist.
Which we did.
I thought it'd be really super cute and controversial to have you on the show.
Yeah, I love it. You're brilliant. Look at that.
Oh my God. Okay, we get it. You're in love with me.
It's true.
I do have a few questions that I thought we would kind of go through, lightly banter. Things like that.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, have you ever dated a tattoo artist before?
No, you're the only one.
How was that? How was it? What was it like? Let's not get into like the nitty gritty of our personal relationship. I think that we will get there. Don't worry. I know that's what the folks are here for.
Oh yeah.
But just like in general, what that experience was like.
It felt really good to be in a relationship with somebody who like understood. I feel like the life of a tattoo artist like kind of inherently in some ways makes you unreliable. Like you don't know when the fuck you're going to be done with work. You don't know.
And drawing,
like you're never done. Actually, you go home and you have to work and your days off aren't days off. You have to be on your phone so much.
Right.
Like things like that, that like in most relationships,
unless you become successful like me and you get an assistant. Yeah.
But even then you still have to be on your Instagram. You still have to be on your Instagram a lot. You still have to post, you know, that kind of stuff you handle yourself.
Right.
And that's the thing where like a lot of people in relationships that don't involve tattooing at all, it's like, get off your phone. Don't be on your phone all the time. There's a whole fucking TikTok thing about how like, you know, your person isn't interested in you anymore because they spend more time on their phone. That's like one of the things they list.
I mean, like arguably, I feel like a lot of tattoo artists that I know don't spend that much time on their phone, like in a leisurely way. Okay, let me rephrase. The ones that are not like neurodivergent and need to like actively disassociate.
I was about to say.
When you like aimlessly are scrolling for 4 hours and where are the time gone? But like, I feel like folks like who tattoo are really intentional about the time that they're spending with people in that moment because of how much we have to be on our phones. And I feel like there's like this, I wouldn't even say resurgence, but like, this sort of movement that's happening where like tattooers are taking more intentional steps back and like
that's
not
true.
Being on their phone so much because we have to be on our phone so much.
Yeah, that's right? Very, very true.
I felt like it was interesting though, and it's like, we'll probably get into this a little bit later, but I feel like there was a big difference potentially with being in like two tattooers we dated, the skill level, I feel like made things a little bit more complicated.
Yes, definitely.
But also was cool to like, I don't know. I felt like sometimes you did not give criticisms when I needed criticisms and you're always affirming me because you're like, you're so much better than me. And I'm like, cute, but like,
give me a real
I hate
critique.
This tattoo. Can you tell me why I hate it?
Yeah.
And like when I like asked of that from you, you definitely did that more. Because I've actually dabbled in a few other tattooers in my time. Flirted with other tattoo artists. Just like this year, actually, I spent my whole career not dating other tattooers and not really feeling like I wanted to. But I think that's also because I spent a lot of my career in like very cishet shops.
Yeah.
So like, I guess maybe the opportunity wasn't really there. And then the relationships I was building was very much with like traditional tat bros or tat folks. But now as I've like entered within the last few years into like queer trans spaces, it's like, oh, well, look at this cookie jar. And like, it's been kind of exciting. And then also traveling more, which has been cute. But I felt like when I was seeing or like dating other tattooers, it was like similar in the experience. It was like really cool to like be affirmed in your art and like give tips and tricks and critiques. And like, I feel like that part's really like, and like understanding like how fucking insecure we are.
Yeah. Literally all of us. That
even the
was
most
one
talented.
Of the, yeah. That was one of the things that I feel like I learned through the process of our relationship. Cause I felt like I was still so new that I was like, oh, you must just reach a point when you know you're
you
good.
You're good.
Yeah, you know you're good. And
I feel like your Leo rising always tells you that you're good at one point.
And then the Pisces sun and the Aries, well, the Aries moon kind of tells me that too. But the Pisces sun brings me back down a bit. If I didn't have that, I would be a complete asshole, I think.
Well, what was it like dating me?
Honestly, pretty amazing.
Specifically.
I mean, it was really hard, the skill difference level.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, and I'm not just saying, like, I'm not a skilled tattooer and you are. Like, it was the fact that I was so new. Right. Like, you inherently were teaching me how to tattoo anytime we had a conversation about tattooing.
Did you feel like you were intimidated?
I mean, I remember the first, like, DM I sent you was in response to...
Jesus Christ. Your first message was definitely tender queer white as fuck. It was like kind of coming off the heels of the black square moment. So I was always getting messages from well-intentioned white folks who I think, you know, a lot of them I still have relationships with now, but some are just like they're in their guilt.
Yeah.
And I was getting a lot of, I'd like to buy you lunch and let me send you
money. And I was
money.
Like, I want to paint you a painting.
And I said, I don't take free shit from white people anymore.
That quote. Quote.
Yeah.
And I was like, just find garbage on the ground and send
said,
it to
I'm
me because I like
doing
weird
that.
Metal shiny things.
I
but
said,
then
no.
I didn't think about how the fact I was telling you to pick garbage up off the street.
Ooh, not the racial tension.
Fuck.
And I for sure was like, I don't fucking pick up garbage on the street, but cute.
Yeah.
And I think I just had like planned to like buy you some like merch or something from like black artists.
Yeah. I also, it was me finding an in.
Wait.
Yeah, no, because you posted on your story, I think like a meme or something, a picture of like a tweet or a meme where it was like me when an artist I respect follows me back.
Oh, yeah, that
was and that was my first DM to you because it just happened to be the exact same day you followed me back. So I replied and I was like, LOL, literally me right now because you just followed me back.
Yeah, I don't know why I did.
Yeah, I don't
think
know why
you
did
either.
I think you
were a little cute to me, but also I was like a little weird. And
yeah,
you were
I don't
queer know. And trans, so like I like will follow back most queer trans. But I don't usually like I checked the profiles and you had a diverse profile. So I was like, okay, we'll see. They follow me, so they must have some range. And I've come to realize that's not always true for everybody.
Yeah.
But I mean, I want to kind of like go back to, this is some fucking piping hot tea, bitch, because we're going to get into a little bit of our... We had a very public breakup.
We did have
we had a very,
very
public relationship.
Yeah, we had a very public relationship, public breakup.
And we were long distance.
Weird. Yeah.
Which was my first real long distance relationship.
Same.
I felt like the aspects of like the calling you out, I think, were all valid. And they're all like real valid criticisms that we're still navigating those where you... whether intentional or not, like that's for you to defend, but we've had conversations about it, that there was an imbalance and that mm-hmm. I was really like carving out a career for you, I felt yeah. like. And that's not to say that you didn't like put in work ahead of time before you met me, yes. And I think some of the aspects of that I still even struggle with now is like, you are where you are now because you met you. Me.
Yeah. I wouldn't be at Wish Me Luck if you hadn't. Yeah. No, I know. Like, that's just a fact of
and
the matter.
And I mean, yeah. And when we first started dating, I had mentioned, or I've said several times, and things that I've talked about very publicly is social currency. Yeah. And that proximity to folks who are deemed in a particular way, whether they are safe or radicalized or, you know, organized, like whatever the case is, like being in proximity to those people automatically, for a lot of people, assume safety. So like, because I'm dating you yeah. and you're white,
yeah.
folks are going to assume that you have the range
yeah.
and that you must be.
And I proved I did not indeed have the range.
No.
Yeah.
I think that
yeah.
most white people don't.
Yeah.
And the problem lied not just that you were leaning on me a lot and that you were more than willing to take from me. It was that, I think it was the fact that you were more than willing to take.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of give.
Yeah.
Right. And I think for me, after leaving that situation, I was like, I don't think I could ever date a tattoo artist who's not, one, confident in their own stuff, to a little bit more experience, because the other people or other folks that I've seen, they've been tattooing far less years than me, but they're confident in their artwork and they've established themselves in careers. Like everything that I had done for you or like helped you navigate conflict, helped you navigate conversations in terms of like the spaces you were entering that were tattoo spaces, to the types of needles, to how you could do things differently. You were about to work in a fucking office in a FedEx building or something like that. And I was like,
I mean, yeah, basically.
Out.
Yeah.
You're not strong enough of an artist to be.
Illegal underground space.
Right. And like, no tea, no shade to the other artists, but like, none of y'all should have been like learning. It was not a space for learning.
Yeah.
It was a space to tattoo.
Yeah.
And I felt like you wanted to learn.
Yeah.
I think we spent a lot of the relationship of you leaning on me.
Yeah.
For these efforts. There was no reciprocity.
Yep.
And then now you have a pretty good career, as you named in your introduction.
Yep.
And you make the monies.
Yep.
And there was no consequences.
Yeah.
The only reason I even said anything publicly was because of the way that I was integrated into your career.
Yeah.
The way that your proximity to me made people believe that you were a safe person.
A certain type of person, yeah.
And you weren't in a lot of ways. And you weren't because of our personal relationship. And you also weren't because I was helping you navigate conflicts within tattooing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was leaning on you pretty much constantly in like every way I could, really.
Right.
Some things I felt like I couldn't be reciprocal with because I just didn't have the experience within tattooing. But then even the things where I could have been, I still wasn't showing up right. Mm-hmm. I think like my selfishness came out so fucking strongly within our relationship. Like, I mean, it's been consistent throughout my whole life. I am who I am, and I have been. But I feel like it came out really fucking strong in our relationship.
It did, and it was a lot of whiteness. And that's like, you know, bringing it back to the tattooing, it's like, well, you're tattooing black, brown, trans, disabled, queer bodies just because you do the bare minimum. It's also not to minimize, like, you know, some of the conscious efforts that you make, or the conscious efforts that you make to make your clients feel safe, and I don't want to take that away. But certainly, I think tattooing as a practice has become a little far more radicalized within at least queer and trans spaces. So there are ways that we have to show up differently. And I felt like you couldn't do that unless I was present, or you did just enough. And that's like a fucking whole thing with white tattooers getting to be mediocre.
Yeah.
While black tattooers, you know, dark-skinned black tattooers have to be far, far more phenomenal. And for me, like as a biracial black person, had far more access to a lot of tattoo spaces and success, but also experienced a lot of anti-black violence personally and then bared witness to a lot of that happening.
Yeah.
So still an experience that you will not understand. Yes, you as a trans person did experience harm at like, you know, the shop that you worked at before.
Yeah.
For sure, this is why you needed to leave.
Mm-hmm.
but you could have continued to access those spaces relatively okay. Yeah. You could at least enter any tattoo space and be okay.
Yep.
And
honestly, if I had better boundaries, I could have probably navigated that space better.
I feel like that's enough of our personal relationship.
Really? That's it?
Okay. I mean, folks aren't owed everything. Like, damn.
That's true.
They got a little bit of the tea, not like the rest of the show.
They know I was a little shitty as fuck.
Here we are now.
Yeah.
Doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Not forever, just this episode.
But thanks for setting that boundary. Okay, heard and respected. There will be no further updates. This is all it is.
Folks are all up in my stories anyways, curious as hell.
Yeah. So.
That's interesting little
Tinder
thing.
Came all the way to Toronto.
Yeah, you did.
And honestly, I do. That's like another thing with dating a tattooer. Like, I really am thankful that we're both tattooers because we saw each other at the convention in Philly. That's how I was able to, like...
You want to talk about that a little bit? I think it's an interesting little story.
An interesting little story. What I'm trying to say is, like, you can't leave each other's lives, you know? You're inherently, especially if you travel, especially both of us being queer tattooers.
We, like... exist within the same spaces, kind of, even though it's in different countries.
Yeah, even though it's a different fucking country. Right. Like, we exist in the same spaces, but that's what gave us the opportunity to connect again and for me to be like, hey, I realized that I was an absolute complete shit.
Okay, but I'm going to tell the story because I'm more exciting.
Okay.
So I had started traveling back in this, for the first time traveling in the States to actually do tattoo conventions. I've been doing them for a few years now. In Canada, and the first stop was Chicago. Cute. Yep,
let's talk about that.
We
that
don't need to talk too much because it's humiliating for me. I wanted
and me. That, well, not humiliating. It's just
no.
Like,
it's embarrassing for you too.
It is. Right. But I feel like humiliating doesn't capture the fact that it was me being.
I got rejected by a tender queer. I think I win.
Complete asshole. I was being complete and utter tender queer.
Yeah.
Dick.
Cool. Let me finish my story.
Cool. Sorry.
So you're taking up space.
Oh my god.
I'm kidding. So I was going to Chicago for the tattoo convention, the first time traveling with the Ladies of Ink tour. Y'all should be following them. You know, the all black female tattooer group. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not all female, but neither here nor there. And I had asked to see you and it was a big no. I had asked you to help me rent a car and that was a big no. I know that was kind of a leap and you're like, no. And you were supposed to be receiving my equipment because I ship it over. And you were like, ah. And I was like, fuck it. No. So I was in your city. And we did not see each other.
No,
at
we
all.
Did not.
And you were not trying to be supportive in any way.
Zero ways.
Yeah. Whole asshole.
Whole asshole.
Right. So left Chicago actually feeling really like that was my closure almost.
Yeah.
Like it was like, oh, this person's really unkind in times of a sort of conflict, which we weren't really in a conflict, but you were had set boundaries, I guess, at that minute, at that time, randomly. To not ever talk to me again or help me. So I left Chicago being like, oh, work. This is who they are. And
I did show my whole ass.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
So I was cool. Whatever, went about my life. And then Philly came around. And I follow your boss at the shop. And she had posted that the shop was going to the convention. And dun, I was dun. Riddled with fucking anxiety. The whole time, I almost did not want to go because I was like, what's going to happen when I see them? And all these thoughts playing through my head. And it was like, holy shit, this is the downfall of dating a tattoo artist. Yeah. Is you might run into them. But it was interesting because I never thought that would happen because you weren't you're not a convention pal.
Yeah, it was
you're
my not, first like, convention.
Yeah, fuck this, right? Yeah. And then but it wasn't official who was going to be there. And then I creeped your account on my burner account. And you had I have since actually deleted it before Philly because I'm like, I don't need to creep them anymore. But I had noticed that you were going to be there and was very nervous. And then leading up to it, I didn't reach out to you, but you emailed me.
I emailed you. Mm-hmm. I replied to the email you sent me, which was incredibly kind.
Oh, honestly. The long ass email I had sent 3 months prior?
Yep. Literally 3 months, at least 3 months prior. That was actually incredibly kind.
Yeah, it was.
It was very kind. I did not deserve
it. I don't need to butter me up. Finish the story.
Just facts. But yeah, I sent you an email. I forget exactly what I said, but basically hey, I've been doing some reflecting and basically I don't want to avoid accountability. And I know that I've made several really harmful mistakes. I don't think I referred to them as mistakes.
You didn't really say much. Like, yeah, let's just it was four sentences.
It was four sentences. Like, would you be open to seeing me? Yeah. Would you be open to talking with me? Understand if you're not and let me know if you want me to just avoid you. You said, I'm surprised to see this message. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. And so anyways, fast forward. You are emailing. We're setting up the Thursday. You walk over to my booth. And it was like a weird little moment we had.
It was a weird, you looked good.
I know.
You looked so good.
When I'm in America, I don't know what it is. It's like full bad bitch, like femme drag type shit. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah,
It fucked me up. Yeah. A bit. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
No. Point. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so we talked a little bit before setup. Mm-hmm. And we were like, is this even a sufficient enough conversation? It's like 20 minutes and I have a client coming up. And we're like, no.
We were
and
just
we'll
like outside smoking a cigarette.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we meet up
afterwards,
to which you told me you were then in another relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we had sex. And you cheated on that person.
I did.
How much is too much? You let me know.
Yeah, I mean, it's called the teardown, right?
Yeah.
Well, tell me down.
Not the shit. Jeez. Okay. Cheated on that person. Da, 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 da. We talked. We had like a queer movie scene.
We talked like all
moment.
Night. We were up until like 7 a.m. That was a whole ass movie.
Oh my God. It was too much.
It was a lot.
Crying, kissing. We'll never see each other again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was basically the rest of the trip.
Yeah. We spent
us repeating that moment.
But yeah. A lot of queer shit. And for all the queers out there, you know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah. It was a lot. It was the drama. Queer shit. Yeah. We spent the last like... last hour of me also being in Philly in your Airbnb, literally crying.
Yeah, I'm asleep. I don't want to open my eyes fully because then I'd have to be awake.
Yeah.
So I'm like asleep, eyes closed, crying, like just kissing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like never cry in Ubers and I was sobbing in the fucking Uber back to the Airbnb. Gay as fuck.
Because you realize you made the biggest mistake of your life.
That's literally
And you were in
was.
Love with me the whole time and you're just disconnected from your feelings.
Yep.
Welcome to the teardown.
Yeah, and that's literally what it was. Just recognizing, like actually fully looking at myself for honestly probably like what the first time in my life and like really seeing how much of a tender queer I am, really seeing how white I am, like in very, very harmful ways, beginning to honestly recognize that, realize how much I was projecting onto you, seeing you more clearly, and then also letting myself actually feel my feelings. That was a whirlwind right there.
Mm-hmm. So leading up to now, I don't know, like a week or two ago, we like started talking again and you wanted to see where things were going to go. Because I was maintaining a level of boundaries because I, one, did not want to push. Two, like you already knew where my feelings were at and you were still very much like, I don't deserve you. I'm not good enough to be with you. And
self-deprecating
I was like, okay,
shit.
Anyway, sounds like you're making excuses not to change.
Yep.
That's what you're doing.
Fair point. Fair point.
But we've talked it over. We've done a lot of talking.
A lot of talking.
And then I asked you to come to my friend's birthday party and then you came this week and hung out.
Yep.
Now we're dating again. Surprise! But taking things slow. I guess it's not very slow with dating again. That's
yeah,
not
we're
slow.
Dating again, but we're dating again in a very like
intentional. Honest.
I am being a lot more honest.
Yeah,
or like trying very hard to be a lot more honest.
Or maintaining, you know, to circle back to even like the tattooing and dating, we're trying to find ways to like assert boundaries.
Yeah,
so that there isn't so much crossover with the career. It's like. Now you'll be like, you won't automatically send me a picture or anything like that.
Yeah.
Not that you necessarily did that all the time, but you'd be like, can I send you this? And then for me, I'm like, okay, do you want me to just affirm you or do you want critique? And like we're asking and giving permission to have certain conversations surrounding tattooing that I think is also important.
It helps a little bit that I am like slightly better, that I actually like have improved because I was doing some like not good shit. And it's funny because I feel like when I was at my most confident was when I was not, like, my shit was not clean. But I was just like, look at me. I'm at an established shop. I'm established.
Yeah, you were doing pieces you should not have been doing.
Yeah,
very
and
unethical.
That's why I fucked up that tattoo, like, really badly.
That tattoo? The many tattoos.
Well, the tattoo that I, like, blew out horribly across their whole fucking stomach. That shit was bad.
It all just blurs together.
You don't remember that?
No.
I will never forget that tattoo. It's been fixed. It's okay now. It wasn't fixed by me, though, because I was not capable of fixing it.
Oh, yeah, I know what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're asking each other permission
before
doing that and asserting more professional boundaries. And you make more money now, so you get to buy me nice things.
That's true. And I do like that.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So there it is.
Yeah.
Do you want to like get through some like pretty shallow kind of cool, funny, kiki questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
That don't need to center completely our relationship, but I guess for you, that's all about it. I think in general, interracial couplings specifically, there's always the undertone of the tattoo world. But if I could offer something specifically when one partner is white and the other partner is non-white.
Mm-hmm.
There's an inherent like imbalance, an inherent imbalance of power and privilege. And then there's a lot of labor done by the non-white partner that inherently happens when non-Black folks or even Black folks with other communities and, you know, able-bodied with disabled bodies, like there's always a learning that needs to be done on the side of the person that can cause harm the most. So when it comes to specifically like interracial dating, I feel like depending on what your politics and ethics are, because not everybody's like, oh, totally rad, like radical liberation and abolish, you know, the non-Black person needs to do a lot of their own learning and a lot of listening, but also coming with some range. And I think that like what was also happening was that you were like far too willing to accept and lean on everything that I said,
yeah,
but not actually internalize it, critique it, like analyze it and understand how it applies to our situation, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you have like an abolition politic that is inherently trauma-informed and anti-oppressive, but when you have a relationship with me, a Black person who has a lot of varying intersecting identities, could not apply that? Right? Inherently, the two have to like intersect at some point. And I think that that's something that you needed to learn.
Yeah.
And for me, I felt like I needed to learn how to assert my own boundaries. And I needed to learn that, I don't know if it's that I needed to learn. I think that I did learn that it was just going to be fucking harder to date a non-Black person. I spent most of my relationships dating Black people.
Yeah, you came into it knowing that.
Right, but you fall in love and things get like really like fast and beautiful and you get caught up in like all the beautiful moments. And then I was more than willing to just keep doing the labor because I loved you and I thought that it was going to lead to something.
Yeah.
Like taking away from that is like, you know, if you didn't come back to me with some fucking work that you did, I mean, after Philly, frankly, if you didn't come back, I don't think I would have taken you. I would not have taken you back because I was no longer willing to accept subpar and mediocre.
Yeah. No more.
Because
mediocre.
The world will let you be mediocre. You could be mediocre as fuck. You're a little bit mid. No offense.
Yeah. No, I'm.
But, but that's okay. but you do, you know, you do a lot of great things for me, with me. You make me still, you know, all the reasons why I like fell for you in the first place, they're kind of like, they're coming back with a little bit more analysis. And I did my own healing.
Yeah, you while did we were a broken. Lot.
Yeah.
You did a lot.
I did a lot of shit.
You did so much
you
shit.
Just
honestly.
Deflected.
I deflected. Right. You did a lot of shit.
I know. I'm great. Well,
you really are.
This is a Vegas is Great podcast.
Well, you are pretty
what,
great.
What do you think are your takeaways?
How important, like, I already knew the importance of honesty in relationships because I had already fucked that up before you. But I was not looking at honesty within, or like how honesty intersects with anti-racism and how critical mm-hmm. it is to be really honest with yourself about where you are and what you understand and what you don't understand and what you understand on paper versus what you understand in action.
Yeah.
The honesty within all of that is so incredibly critical and so much of what I was lacking. That's a big takeaway.
Mm-hmm. And how to pull a straight line.
And how to pull a straight
line. Without blowing out.
Yeah, without blowing out. Which honestly has only been within the past, like, what, 3 months, 4 months?
I mean, that's growth.
Yeah,
that's
it good. Is growth. It is growth.
You haven't been tattooing long. You're doing really well.
Oh, thank you.
I've already said this. Don't act like I've never complimented you.
No, no, you're actually incredibly fucking kind and supportive. And you always have been.
You this too, pal.
Oh my God.
Well, one question is, would you date someone you work with? Absolutely fucking not.
No.
The problem is that I probably sleep with one, and that's the Scorpio.
That's
Venus.
The Scorpio.
And
I mean,
every other
I'm a
planet.
Fucking slut. You know this. I probably mm-hmm. would too, and it would be a horrible decision.
And like, literally, I want nothing more than you to not do that.
I will never do that because I am.
You would.
No, I would not.
No, I mean, I think it's a little bit different for me too. That now that I own a shop, like,
yeah, that
like,
would be a whole other level.
Oh my
of
god,
unethical.
You should see some of the freaking, you know, they just lean into my Scorpioism a little too much. We have like a memorandum, and they're
well,
like,
you do
well,
have five Scorpio placements.
Only five?
At least five.
At least five.
At least five.
Right.
You're a hell of a Scorpio. It's
there's two rules that the shop has for me. I can't sleep with anybody's siblings, and I'm not allowed to like Jack Harlow anymore.
That's hilarious.
I will do one of those things. As in, I will follow one of those rules. This is a Jack Harlow stan account. I want everybody to know. But no, I guess no. I really wouldn't sleep with somebody I work with. I
no,
feel like
I think it's
just
a horrible
such a weird
idea.
It'd be hot though.
It would be hot as fuck. Right. It would be so hot, which is part of the temptation.
The
of
honest
it.
Conversation.
But then
too.
You have to yeah. go to work the next day and the day after and the day after.
But
that.
I could do that, and that's the problem.
But nobody else really can.
Well, because they'd fall in love with me.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
would you open a shop with your tattoo partner?
I think that's also a bad idea.
Mm, agreed.
You know, like,
unless
I mean,
it was a private shop, I feel like.
A private shop,
like,
yeah,
super
maybe.
Super private if you folks were like, if folks yeah. were like very much busy
and
on
I
their
think
own accord.
You would have to be like so well established. Like that would be like a, you've had a career for years. You've done the shit.
You're both on the same playing field.
Yeah, you've established your own shit. And like 10 years into your relationship, you're like, you know what? I'm kind of tired of like the walk-in shop vibe or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this. I'm tired of
you
that.
You move out to like the boonies or some
yeah,
shit.
You yeah, you move out to the fucking boonies, buy a farm and open your own
there's
shop.
There's like a tattoo couple. I don't know their names offhand. I know of a couple folks who like long-time tattooers, 15 years under each other's belt, like moved yeah. out far out of any city and they tattoo together. But like,
yeah,
that, like married and shit.
Sense. Yeah, you're like married.
It's different.
You have a family. If you figured out that, like.
Good for you.
Good for you. Maybe you can also do this.
Dating somebody with a different or similar style. And there was like, I asked a question online and like some folks had asked this question and also said similar things to it. Like, is it better to date somebody with the same style? Do you get jealous because the other person yeah. you think inherently as artists, we think that. I saw a tweet once that was like, you don't like your art because it's your art. Mm. But if somebody was doing what you were doing, you would probably like
yeah.
it. All that to say, like in the question, do you think it'd be easier or harder to date somebody with a similar tattoo style as you?
I think part of it like really depends on the kind of people. Like if you're a competitive person, like
you
I
are.
Know I'm competitive. Yeah, yeah. I'm a fucking Aries moon. I am competitive.
We're just so, letting them know that we're astrology queers, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So like I know that it would I would be in my head about it. I would. Like it would not be fun for whoever that person was or me. I don't think it's not possible. Like, I think maybe it would be fucking amazing if you weren't competitive and you got to like collaborate on tattoos together.
Oh yeah.
That could be tattoo magic right there. That could be amazing.
Mm.
But I think it would really take a certain kind of person and a certain kind of artist.
I agree with you. I think I like the other little few experiences I had engaging romantically with other tattooers. They were completely different artists than me. Like yeah. they did like realism. Yeah. And I was like, oh, like we are not even on the same whatever. We were still able to provide each other advice. And mm-hmm. they would like, you know, reach out to me or I'd reach out to them. And it was like super cool. But like literally we do different things. So like yeah. we're not even, it's like we had two different jobs. Actually, it felt like we had two different jobs.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe that actually is like kind of a...
It's like a good thing because yeah. I like, you know, if they didn't super like a tattoo that I did, it's because it just wasn't their, it's not what they're interested in.
Yeah.
And like equally they would know, like for me, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, it's realism. I don't know. Like take yeah. a picture. It's the same thing. I don't know. Yeah. Oop, oop. Sorry. To all the realism artists out there, no tea, no shade. Love it. Y'all are skilled. Da da da. All that.
LOL.
No. That's going to get me canceled.
Yeah.
All right. Having kids as tattooers.
I feel like having kids in general is a very intimidating thing.
Mm.
It's a lot of work. And like, fuck, I even feel like I don't care for my dog at the level I should. Because
I think that's a fucking lie. Well, you're obsessed with your dog.
I am obsessed with
my
dog.
He smells so bad.
He does.
And you love him.
I love him. I love him very fully. But he spends like, if I'm tattooing, he's alone from easily, it could be from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. It could be for 12 hours. Like that's a long time. Once he gets old, that's not going to be okay. Like he'll piss all over my house, you know? So like the idea when your schedule is not like it's set, but it's not set.
But I mean, once you get to further on in your career, you're going to get to be flexible with your scheduling. Now you have to, it's like for you at least, it's like grind yeah. time. You do yeah. everything. You're in the shop. You're there late. You're there early. Like that's kind of like the beginning of tattooing. Whereas like further down the line, you get to establish a more flexible schedule. You get to do the pieces that you want to do, which might take you more time, which like in turn kind of balances out the money situation. So instead yeah. of doing like 10 small tattoos in a day, you yeah. could cut it down to like 3 medium to large pieces that like yeah. take a little less time rather than being there from like 10 a.m.
yeah.
till 10 p.m.
Yeah.
You know, to answer that question, I think it's possible, depending on where you are in your tattoo career, to be able to balance
kids. And also
kids.
Like what kind of community you're a part of.
Right. You know? And there's also
if
like,
you're queer,
yeah.
you probably got a lot of other people.
I mean, unfortunately for me, all my fucking friends are queer and tattooers. So
yeah.
we all LOL. Don't got the time.
Yeah. And I don't really have any friends. So
oh my God.
In the same place as me.
You know, we have an artist here who has a child who like grew up in the shop. Like she used to own her own tattoo shop and her kid grew up in the shop. It was very much like yeah. she's older, but yeah. like, you know, it's like really cool to see her so like integrated. And it's just, yeah. like, so normal.
I mean, both the shops I work at, this one and the one I worked in before, the owner's kid was already always in the shop.
Yeah. People think it's like dangerous or weird. I'm like, no, kids are fine. No. They just sit there and talk to you about Coraline.
Yeah. That's literally it. That's literally
they're
it.
Like, look at this booger that I made. I don't like yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. They're just
don't touch anything,
just,
but yeah.
Yeah. It's like, stay out of this area. Don't go towards anyone tattooing. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
All the fun stuff is in the front of the shop anyway.
Right. What about tattooing each other as tattoo artists?
You know, what's really funny is what? I have 3 tattoos by you. You have none. We tattooed ourselves, what, 3 months into dating? We gave, like, I gave myself a tattoo for you and you gave yourself a tattoo for me.
Whoa, 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 whoa. That was not public knowledge. That was not public knowledge.
Oh, so we shouldn't talk about all the other tattoos you have on you?
Okay. Anyway, so I'm people? A guest mm-hmm. book, walking guest book. Because yep. I'm a tattoo artist, I'm like, well, I can cover it up whenever I want it. It's been 10 years and I've yet to cover some of these up. But
yeah, uh-huh.
yours is more meaningful a little bit.
Yeah, I'm never covering. I even had the
what do you
opportunity.
Have for me? Oh, yeah, you do.
The countdown. Okay.
No.
It's really gay. I kind of want to tell everybody. It's so cute.
You want to?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have a countdown, like a 3-2-1 with the little cinema circle with the line in it. Because since we are long distance, we spend all our time on FaceTime and would watch movies together. And Vegas would always count down so that we started at the same time. They would always say 3-2-1. So I tattooed that on myself.
Yeah, you did that pretty early on. Yeah. I did mine after yours.
Yeah, you did it like a month after. I think. I was eager. I was like, I'm doing this. This is a great idea.
Yeah, circles, many circles, which was an interesting career choice.
Yeah, there's one segment of the circles that's good and the rest is all
right. I'm tired of hearing about these circles you think are kind of good. I guess if anybody's interested, there's like a song by Fleetwood Mac called Everywhere that I felt like, I don't know, I was listening to it one day and was like, wow, ew, why am I thinking about Dylan? And I told them, and you know, they knew the song. So I got that Everywhere tattooed on my foot.
Yeah, you did such a good job. It's on the side.
I know. Well, I've been tattooing for a long time.
Yeah. I'm amazed the circles aren't more fucked up, honestly.
Oh my God. So, I mean, answer to that, tattooing each other, I think it's par for the course. It was funny. I was having some conversations in the DMs with other tattoo artists. And they're like, why is it like the most erotic and romantic thing that we do?
Oh my God.
We tattoo each other.
It really fucking is.
It's our love language.
When you tattooed my hand and I just spent like pretty much
the whole time staring at me being like,
you're a painter. This is such an artist. Incredible.
And I was like, oh, okay.
You're not just a tattooer.
I was quite sober while you were fucked up.
Yeah.
Somebody submitted, another tattoo artist was like, they are nervous to like tattoo their significant other. And this person's super talented. So I'm like, why?
Oh, I'm nervous as fuck to tattoo you.
One day it will happen.
No, it won't.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. I don't think it will. Yeah, the style doesn't fit. Interesting.
A callback is what they call that in the biz.
Yeah, the style doesn't fit. Yeah, unless you find a building that you really, really like. If I buy you a house one day, can I tattoo it on you?
Wow. Wow. You heard it here, folks. Hold them accountable if I don't get a house in 3 years. I don't know. Oh, somebody had asked if they feel like, and I don't know if this is like the same for other tattoo artists, so maybe it's not for the thing. I mean, we kind of touched on it, but like, do you feel like people like use you to like get tattooed? And so for me, that was a question. I didn't feel like you used me for tattooing at all. I think I was just so enchanting and charming and attractive.
Yeah, and talented.
Well, then maybe you did use me a little bit. Well, you have 3 tattoos by me.
I think what makes me feel more like, because I would be worried that I did, but I always just wanted you to do, I didn't like come to
I
you.
I picked and the art.
You always picked the art. You always picked the art.
I was like, I want to tattoo your hand.
Yeah.
And I want to do
you
passion flowers.
You wanted to do passion flowers. Yeah. You were like, how, because passion flowers are your favorite flower.
Wow, so you are marked by me.
Yeah, I am.
I love that.
And
it
we
was
would
great.
Joke. Remember how much we would joke about you like putting your name into it?
And you're like, no. Maybe I didn't. You don't even know. It's in one of the swirls.
Oh my God, that'd be funny.
Imagine. It's my signature, actually.
That honestly would be really funny. I wouldn't even be mad. That'd be pretty funny. Especially after how much we joked about it.
I think it's like interesting. I always kind of liked the idea that somebody like forever will be thinking of me.
Yeah, especially because you tattooed my hand, my right hand. I'm right-handed.
What part of my chart is that? Oh. Feels a little toxic.
What's your rising again?
Taurus.
No, it's not that.
So then nothing. It's not toxic and it's fine. Great. Love that.
You're hilarious.
Well, I appreciate you being my first ever guest.
I appreciate you giving me a second chance.
Okay, you're trying to get some tonight. I know that's what you're trying to do. But anyways, yeah, thank you for coming on and like, you know, being so honest and like us getting to talk about the things and I don't know, just taking your time to do this. I know it could be kind of nerve-wracking, especially to be so vulnerable to a bunch of people you don't know and me.
Well,
and the person producing the show.
Hilarious. You know, I feel like it's a lot of our other interactions. I was nervous to see you in Philly, but then as soon as we were talking, those nerves went away. Same thing happened with this.
Stop flirting with me live on the air. Oh, thanks, Dill.
Yep, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's it for today's episode, folks. Go ahead and follow at the Teardown Pod on all socials. Make sure to leave a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. The Teardown is hosted by me, Vegas Inc. This episode was edited and mixed by Ali Sirois and produced in collaboration with Edit Audio. And I'll see y'all at our next session.